Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. That's all the items that Fisheries has for you this morning.
Great, thank you. We'll move right into wildlife. The first thing is an informational item. We don't have any authority here, but there's going to be a presentation, and more importantly, an opportunity to thank the members of staff that worked on this project. So, Ms. Hanuska Brown, good morning.
Good morning, Chair Colton and commissioners. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So I'm Lori Hanuska Brown, formerly the Non-Game Wildlife Management Bureau Chief for the Wildlife Division. I've taken a different position to fill in behind Quentin Kujula. So as of today, I'm the Division's Bureau's coordinator, but still out of the Helena office. And Chairman Colton did a good job summarizing this issue, so I appreciate that. But just to reiterate, these are voluntary guidelines that were put together by Christina Smucker from the Non-Game Program, Alice Bagley, our avian conservation coordinator, and Renee Lemon from our responsive management unit. And the guidelines are really to inform wind industry developers of local recommendations to minimize mortalities to bats. And they are voluntary, so they can look at them and take those recommendations as they choose. One of the staff that worked on these is Christina Smucker from the Region 4 office. And she is here to give just a real brief summary of what's in these guidelines for your information. And with that, I'll turn the rest of the time over to Christina.
Thank you.
Good morning, commissioners. Thanks, Lori, for the introduction. I just wanted to tell you a little bit more about these voluntary recommendations that we've been working on. And we wanted to put them together because FWP staff get between 5 and 10 requests from wind companies each year to do consultations. And we've been working with wind companies and with other state and federal agencies in a collaborative manner. But one of the questions that we get consistently is whether we have specific recommendations on how to minimize impacts to wildlife. So, for these recommendations, we worked with biologists at the Montana Natural Heritage Program and other bat experts across the state through the Montana Bat Working Group to put together recommendations that would answer some basic questions on the potential for wind facilities to impact bat populations. To offer consistent recommendations to minimize those impacts. And we wanted recommendations that would work well here in Montana. There's been a lot of research at the national level on how to reduce impacts, but we've also learned a lot about bats here in Montana. In 2015, we formed a partnership with Northwestern Energy and actually conducted the post-construction monitoring at their wind farm and near Geyser, that's the Spinecop wind farm. And we use data from that project to inform these recommendations. But before I get into the recommendations, I wanted to tell you just a little bit more about bats. Most folks know that eagles and other raptors can collide with wind turbines, but what's less well known is that bats are also susceptible. So why are birds and bats colliding with turbines in the first place? Well, when the wind is blowing at 13 to 15 miles per hour, it doesn't look to us like those turbine blades are spinning very fast, but those blade tips are moving at 120 miles per hour. And these critters just aren't maneuverable enough to get out of the way when they find themselves in that rotor swept area. Fortunately, bats don't fly when it's very windy. So if blades aren't spinning at low wind speeds when not very much electricity is being generated, then bats won't collide with them. The other piece is that it's our tree roosting bats. So in Montana, that's our hoary bats and our silver-haired bats that are most likely to collide with turbines. And it's most likely to happen in the fall while they're migrating through Montana. So safety measures don't need to be implemented all year. Again, these recommendations are voluntary. So neither Fish, Wildlife and Parks nor the Fish and Wildlife Commission have regulatory authority over bats. And the basics of our recommendations are do post, pre and post construction monitoring. And this is pretty standard. Almost all wind companies do some level of surveys before wind farms are built and after construction has been completed. And this is how they measure impacts on wildlife. Avoid placing turbines near potential roost sites and place turbines at least 2 miles away from forested areas. Another recommendation is to minimize lighting on the turbines that can attract or confuse bats. And then our final recommendation is to prevent rotor blades from spinning at low wind speeds when bats are most at risk. So during the active bat season in Montana, which is between May and September, we recommend feathering the blades. So that's adjusting the blades so that they don't freewheel when there's very low wind speeds and no electricity is being generated. During fall migration, which in Montana is August and September, we recommend raising the cut-in speed. Now that is the speed at which the blades begin to turn and start generating electricity. We recommend setting that cut-in speed to 5 to 6 meters per second. So why just those 2 months? Because our data show that that's when bats are most vulnerable. So at the Spinecott Wind Farm, 80% of the bat fatalities that we found were in August and September. And why 5 to 6 meters per second? Because our data show that 95% of bat activity is below 6 meters per second. And studies in other places have shown that this can reduce bat fatalities by 40 to 90% with little loss of in the amount of power generated. Finally, I'm pleased to report that Northwestern Energy has implemented our guidelines this September, and they plan to make curtailment in the fall a standard part of their operating plan at both their Spinecop and 2DOT wind facilities. And that's good news for bats. So thank you. That's all I've got.
Thank you, Ms. Mucker. And thanks to your team, to you and Alice and Renee and Lori for this good work and providing this great assistance to the industry. And a special thanks to Northwestern Energy for being a voluntary participant in saving bats. Comments, questions, words of thanks from the commission. I'll just wrap it up with the old saying, it's you be you, unless you're Batman, then you should be Batman. had to work that in. Okay, well, again, I don't want to minimize the hard work that goes into this, and it's nice when we see the expertise that we have at the department being utilized to assist with preservation of a particular part of our ecosystem. And in this case, it's bats. And something that will drive people batty is our next topic, which is elk shoulder season. So we'll move right into that.